The reading tonight as we continue in Mark is Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, commencing at verse 1 and going through to 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with their hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandments of God and hold to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all food clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Praise be.
Well, good evening, everyone. As we already mentioned before, we are in a sermon series to meet Jesus, as Sarah has shared before. So please keep your Bibles open as we unpack what the Lord has to say through Mark 7. And to begin with, I want to ask you a question. If you could have one question, if you had one answer to this question, what is the biggest problem with the world today? Well, I Googled it, as you always do, and there's this website called 80,000hours.org, and they have 5 most pressing world problems. Here they are. Number 1 at the top of their list is the risk of AI going wrong. That's their number 1. Number 2, catastrophic pandemics. 3, nuclear weapons. 4, power conflicts. And 5, factory farming. I wonder if that's a list that you would agree with or disagree with. It's written, this website says, they list these issues out because they are urgent concerns that the world needs to consider. These are matters that they're drawing attention to, that they want people to deal with. And if there was anything that God would step in and fix, well, surely it'd be one of these things, right? These huge global problems. But this evening, as we continue in our series to meet Jesus through the Gospel of Mark, what I hope we'll find is, in fact, there is a bigger problem that humanity faces. One that is much deeper and yet much closer than we might have imagined. And that's the problem that Jesus has come to deal with. So 3 points this evening as we work our way through Mark 7. Firstly, the Pharisees' worthless solution. Number two, the heart of the problem. And finally, three, the real solution. So let's get into it. We begin with the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders of Jesus' time. And these are guys that really recognize that there is a big problem with the world. And God is fixing it. They recognize it. But God's only fixing it for his chosen people. And only if they kept the law of God. Here's how that works. For the religious leaders of the time, the problem that they saw was that people just weren't keeping God's law. Because that's the only way to be good or righteous in God's eyes. If everyone kept these laws of God, well, all of the world's problems would go away. And so they needed to make sure that they would never break these laws. And so to do this, naturally, you would make pre-laws of God as a barrier or as a fence around it to really make sure that you would never break this law. And that's the matter that's brought to Jesus here. Here, the law is to not eat unclean food or dirty food. That's what we're wrestling with in Mark 7. Have a look at their concern in verse 2. What are they worried about as they gather around Jesus? Have a look at verse 2. They saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. You see, Mark tells us that these are the traditions of the elders, that they have to wash their hands if they come from the marketplace. But, they say, to really make sure that we don't forget what, did we wash our hands? Maybe we didn't. Okay, let's make sure that no one forgets to break this law by making a pre-law to ensure that food doesn't get dirty. How do we do that? Well, let's wash our cups, our pots, our cutlery, and our couches. This way, we're guaranteed to have clean hands. You see, that's what the Pharisees and the religious leaders believed. They needed to do this to fix the problem of the world. That is, by doing these laws, they became the solution to what's wrong with the world. Because they were the good guys. The Pharisees thought, we are the pure, we're the pious ones, we are the righteous ones. The problem is clearly not us. I mean, it's you guys. Like, what are you guys doing? That's what he says in verse 5, right? Have a look, verse 5. And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? What do you see what they're saying? They're saying, we are the ones that are keeping the law of God. We're living out the solution to the world problem. Because we're holy, we're pious. But Jesus, look at your disciples. So unrefined, so unclean, so tainted. Don't you see that they're the problem? Well, how does Jesus respond? Well, he slams down hard on all their diligent and religious efforts by saying, it's worthless. It's worthless in two ways. It's worthless, firstly, to God. Why? Because the law of God was given to Israel God's people, to make them special and holy to God. They were selected specifically for God. And because of that, they were to keep God's laws. The laws were never there for them to tick box achievements or to be used to become good people. Disobeying these laws didn't bring harm to the body, but it showed disobedience to God. And so it's fitting that Jesus responds to that question by calling them hypocrites, because they just want the appearance of honoring God. And that's why it's in vain. Because notice how they handled the commands of God. All throughout this passage, verse 8, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of man. And Jesus says, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God. He also says, you make void the word of God by your tradition. So do you see, their religious activities, all that washing is worthless to God, because they actually don't care about God. But it gets worse. Because secondly, not only is it worthless to God, it's worthless to society. Not only do they ignore God's commands, but they teach the traditions of man over it. Have a look at the example that Jesus picks up in verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down. And many such things you do. All right, so what are they doing? They're overruling the laws of God for their own tradition. And what we see is a prime example of human interests sacrificed for their religious traditions. We read a little bit about that commandment this evening as we looked at the Shorter Catechism. You see, God's law was meant to be an opportunity for the son to provide for his parents, especially in their old age. But they step in and say, oh, no, sorry, tradition says korban. And so the parents would see none of it because they've promised to give everything to the temple when they died. That's what korban does. It says, I'm not going to give you anything because when I die, it's going to go to the temple. The issue is it exempts them from providing for their parents who are in need. And it is a really, truly ironic law, because this human law, this human tradition is now being used by them to disobey one of the Ten Commandments. This is meant to be one of the fence laws to stop them from breaking the commandments. And that's why Jesus says in verse 9, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God. Because they are rejecting God's command while looking pious, while looking godly. But Jesus sees right through that. He slams their religious practices as worthless to God, worthless to society. Because what is the heart of the law? What was the intent behind it? They've completely missed the point. You see, even though they look like they are good, but truthfully, they're only serving themselves. And this is the Pharisees' worthless solution. They think their religious activity is going to fix the problems of the world. But in reality, it's useless because they've missed the heart of the problem. And don't we do very much the same thing? Sure, we don't do the hygienic practices. Maybe you do wash your couch. But we do certain things and think we're good because of it, don't we? Well, think about times when we're living lives where we're abstaining from alcohol, abstaining from certain movies, certain words. We spend hours and hours serving at church with almost a similar legalistic, almost a similar hypocritical attitude that comes along with it. Take, for example, if we were to hear that someone in the church that we know of, they don't read their Bibles, they don't pray daily, they don't abstain from the things that we do, they don't hold back on foods, on saying certain phrases, it can be quite easy to think of them as ungodly, can't it? We can serve on many, many, many committees. We can be committed in so many ways to ministries, and we can be just like the Pharisees. Now, of course, don't get me wrong. Those things are good to do. We should be in God's word. We should be in God's community. We should be living for God. But what we need to consider here is the heart. What is the intention of all the things that we're doing? Where is your heart in all of this? As you come to church, as you serve each week in and out, where is your heart at? If church is a box-ticking exercise, I've done my duties as a Christian. I'm done. Let's move on. If that's our attitude to church, if that's our attitude to Jesus, well, perhaps we need to consider, are we truly convinced about who Jesus is? Or are we following traditions of man? We need to consider whether we've truly identified the biggest problem of humanity. And can I tell you, the biggest problem is something that these man-made traditions cannot fix. Why? Point two, because it's not the traditions that's the problem. The problem is our heart. You see, the purpose of the food laws was that it was given to the wasn't for hygiene purposes. It wasn't meant to make them right. It was for purity purposes because they were God's chosen people. After all, food kind of goes in and then it comes out. There's nothing glamorous about it. There's nothing to do with being God's chosen people. Except that these laws were given specifically to the Israelites. That's what made them special. Never made them right. And in fact, if anything, it pointed out just how evil and rebellious they were. Because they couldn't do it. That's why Jesus says in verse 15, have a look with me. He says, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And he continues in verse 19. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled. This is why religion doesn't fix the problem. Because the problem is within. It's our heart that's a problem. We can so easily pretend that the problem is out there. We're good people. Outside, different story. You know, on the outside, we can look like we've got our lives all together. We're kind. We're generous. We give a head nod to people who walk by us. But deep within, when push comes to shove, it's our desires which are going to triumph. On the surface, we like to look good. We pretend on the surface to look good. But what happens when people don't meet our expectations? What happens when people get in the way of what I want? What happens when people take the things that I want? That's when our true evil heart comes into play. And isn't that why we get so flustered? When someone takes our spot, when someone takes our parking bay, when someone cuts us off, someone interrupts us, ignores us, and when they fail us. It's a little bit like you have these lunch containers where you spend hours cleaning and making sure the outside of the containers are all nice and clean. But it's only when you kind of open up the lid and take out the silicone ring and you have all this filth and mold residue that comes out of it. And then we realize, actually, we've missed a point. We're acting good in front of people. We're pretending to be kind, but the problem's not there. The problem is our hearts are filled with evil. That's what Jesus says in verse 20. He says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. We can debate endlessly about what is the biggest problem of the world. But can I say, at the center of each of those problems is human sin. The heart's evil desire for itself, to take from the world, to take resources, to take from other people, to take from the weak, to desire what is not ours. That's our condition. This is the human sinful condition. Not only does our evil hearts cause these bigger problems of the world, it more importantly shows that we just simply do not want God. And that's why we are unclean. We've rejected him. We've rejected God's rule over our lives. And that makes us unrighteous, unclean before God. And that's our biggest problem. All the other things that we can talk about, the problems of the world, are just symptoms of our sinful hearts. There is no other problem that is so condemning. This is a list that catches all of us. We're all murderers. We're all adulterers of the heart. We've craved what others have wanted. We've lied. We've slandered. There is no one good. There is none who seek God. Here in this passage in Mark, we see how the Pharisees thought the problem of the world are the sinners who, unlike them, failed to keep the law of God. But what they fail to see is that they too have sinned. They need a new heart. They need to be forgiven. They need to be made right. And so when he talks to the Pharisees, he pulls them out of the covers and says, it is worthless. Your religion is worthless. There is no one good because the heart is the problem. That's what defiles us. That's what makes us unclean. And that is why Jesus came. You see, that's why Jesus suffered and went to the cross to save us, to cleanse us. That's why the Son of God came to earth, to bring forgiveness to all. And when we trust in what Jesus has done, the death that he died for us, we are no longer defiled. We're washed clean by what he has done on the cross. And if we could just recognize just how broken we are, just how evil we were, only then will we see why Jesus came and why he is so precious. Because just as Jesus says to the paralytic in Mark 2, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. Here we know that our sins are forgiven too, if we are to come, if we just come to him in faith. So can I encourage you, can I urge you to realize just how sinful we are? To see how pointless religious acts are. Because only by faith in Jesus can we be made pure and holy. So can I urge you, repent, turn away from living a life that is evil, and believe in your Savior, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life to save you and me from the world's biggest problem, from sin. Man-made religion will not save us from sin. Only Jesus can. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, Lord, would you please forgive us because we have failed to love you. We failed to serve you. Our hearts are full of evil. And yet you stepped into this evil and corrupt world to save us from sin. Father, would you help us to realize just how evil we've been so that we can realize how gracious you are. Help us to see your Son as the most precious gift, because in the Lord Jesus, we find our lives. Lord, by your Spirit, would you soften our hearts to this gospel message that brings life, that brings hope, so that we may know that salvation is here. And would you help us, Lord, to give us a new heart, a heart that would long to be rid of sin, a heart that would want to repent of sin, to see how evil it is, and to continue in following the Lord Jesus. Help us in this, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.